Max Dascombe served this congregation from 1929 until 1964, and reflecting upon the value of healthy religion, Reverend Dascombe wrote, "All history is filled with the heroic story of great souls who fought their way through a maze of theological underbrush and intellectual fog to emerge on the mountaintop of a high and sustaining faith. For 154 years, some of these windows have served as beacons by which people can navigate through the underbrush and fog, finding paths to mountaintops of high and sustaining faith." To your upper right, behold the window referred to as the Virtues of the Heart, donated by the Clark family. The window was installed in the original church building in 1865 on Cheltenham Green, and then moved to this building upon construction in 1928. Sections named Devotion, Love, and Hope display warm blues, maroons, greens, and browns. Each color displays amazing diversity of hues. With individual planning and care, each small piece of glass was made by hand in England for its particular spot in the work. We can ponder and make educated guesses as to what the symbolism meant to the people of the time. In the section entitled Hope, standing after riding Noah's Ark and surviving the ravages of flooding, a woman holds an anchor as an offering to God. At the founding of this church in 1865, it must have felt like surviving death-defying seas. Civil War was ending, the Union was holding, slavery was ending. The architect of choice for over on Cheltenham Green was Frank Furness, son of one of the greatest abolitionist Unitarian preachers. Many of the founding members of the congregation had spent long Sundays walking, riding horses, taking horse and buggies, and trains. There were trains, I've confirmed, down to the First Unitarian Church at 22nd and Chestnut. And they decided to set up camp in Germantown because religion was called upon to play a critical role in saving the soul of the nation. And the stained glass windows were to rouse souls, and they needed rousing. These windows, all the different selections through the decades, I believe, were designed with the wisdom embedded in these words given by Unitarian Universalist minister Victoria Safford, who says, "To see, simply to look and to see, is an ethical act and an intentional choice. To see with open eyes is a spiritual practice and thus a risk, for it can open you to ways of knowing the world and loving that will lead to inevitable consequences." From the first people to attend this congregation all the way down the line of generations to those of us here today, we can make the ethical act an intentional choice of seeing and watching with open eyes. And paying attention to these windows, I know, will lead to loving, and it does lead to loving that has inevitable consequences. The section over here entitled Devotion displays some of the most prominent women in the Bible. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. At the time, they are both widows. Elimelech, who was Ruth's husband and Naomi's son, was amongst those who did not survive intense famine. And Naomi instructs her newly widowed daughter-in-law, Ruth, to go back to her home village, where she's likely to find a stronger community of support. But Ruth objects, and in a demonstration of courageous devotion, tells her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Wherever you go, I will go. I'll stay here with you and provide and support you who lost your son. We're together now." That story speaks to somebody paying attention. I don't care when you're living. The founders of the church, it's important to talk about. If people come in and see the sanctuary and the design, many folks say, this is a Christian congregation. And it was when they built the church. And when a number of the window selections were made, they were Christologically focused Christian Unitarians. And today, that is not true for the majority of us. Some of us it is, and that's great. There's a beautiful place for you if it is, but most of us, it's not. So it's true that if we were to start anew and pick new symbols and quotes and stories to represent the faith today, we wouldn't make some of the same selections. We wouldn't. And there are even selections that represent some very mysterious Susan and I laugh about this a lot. There's some theological infighting in these windows, people. And if anybody has a good... for example, the biggest enigma is there are many symbols of the Trinity in this church, which was built as a Unitarian church. So I'll show you. It's a circle with a triangle in it, and I'll show you. Some of us in recovery, you might think this is recovery, but this is a symbol of the Trinity, right in the middle of the church. Now, interestingly, I lovingly say, most of us couldn't care less. So, I love it. As a lifetime UU, I lovingly say that. My guess is that they liked the free-thinking Christianity, but they were going back to the Trinity versus the Unitarian debate of about 300. So, could have been some of the Catholics who were converting over here, I'm thinking. Got a little campaign in there. To our modern sensibilities, however, many of the symbols do resonate, such as scales of justice, which you'll see in many places. We affirm that and promote that in our modern UU symbols. This is why a number of us are going on a delegation to Harrisburg to fight to end education apartheid. It is education apartheid in Pennsylvania, and it's not acceptable. The scales of justice are out of whack. That symbol speaks then and now. Now, however, I think some of them I would call just straight, for me, unless someone has a better read, are just a bit archaic. The background for justice is Solomon judging which of two women claiming a baby will prevail. It's a quote from Kings 3, divide the living child. It's a story of King Solomon awarding a child to two women who are battling over it, and one forfeits her claim to the child, and Solomon deems her the mother of greater love. Now, I would think socioeconomically at the time, there might have been some ways in which the people with the money got the kids more often. So I think we probably wouldn't pick that story. I'm just going to say that. I might be wrong. But it is show a devotion to love and God and goodness, probably. You could say that universal tenet. It's interesting to think of what they did not select. I often forget that they could have, for example, picked some of the transcendentalists who had been strong in the 1820s, 30s, and 40s before they founded the church in the 1860s. However, I found a recent letter from William Lawrence Sullivan, who was the minister of the church from 1928 to 35, prolific scholar and writer, and he was criticizing Henry David Thoreau, saying that Thoreau, it's a shame, because he had it in him, quote, to be the foremost man in the intellectual life of the country. Transcendentalist Henry David Thoreau, who went and lived in Walden, gave up many of his things to be alone in nature. But Sullivan, who they listened to when they picked these windows, said that Thoreau had a fantasy-based disdain of civilization and adopted a hermit's external life without the hermit's interior vocation. And Sullivan, yeah. And so I said, woo. But Sullivan said, if Thoreau had had, catch this, he writes this in a published book while he's minister here, if Thoreau had had more sympathy with human hearts, his effigy might have been the chief figure in the sanctuary window. So they were debating. You know, it must have been very interesting to see what selections they made for what was going to be the beacon and which window. Now, Susan has been a part of a team which has generated a wonderful path to imagery of UU significance, which we might pick in the future. I think it's really beautiful and important that we think about this. We could put up in some of the circles, what are they called, that are medallions that are empty, Francis Ellen Watkins Harper, great Unitarian abolitionist. We could put up John Murray, the man who came to the shores of New Jersey bringing universal love of God from England, preaching that theology of give them hope, not hell. We could put up an Ark of Justice window going back to great Unitarian abolitionist preacher Theodore Parker. The arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. This is a quote that's come through James Reeb, Dr. King, Barack Obama. It starts with a Unitarian preacher. We could make wonderful choices in the future that would move us and people in the years to come. But when we let's put aside the archaic, the enigmatic, and the possible, and remember that we can pay attention and find deep meaning in the windows that are around us now. I am honored to go representing the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee and this church this week to Arizona to be in public witness supporting a man who's being charged with a felony for giving water and food to immigrants coming across the desert. And there is a window here named Charity with a quote from Proverbs says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. And I think it's a wisdom of spiritual traditions and religions around the world that we should remind ourselves of every single day, knowing that any day any of us could be and are the needy. And this is what human beings do, and we shouldn't criminalize kindness. So I'll have that window with me, you'll be with me and when I'm in Tucson this week. We take these windows with us when we go and do things out in the world to live out these values. I pay attention to the Forster window, and I know we all do care deeply about nature over here on the right side. A beautiful picture of Mother Earth. We have to be reminded every day that being in and connected to nature gives us nourishment, and we are called to be humble stewards protecting Mother Earth. We got to get less plastic. We got to reduce carbon emissions. The kids are out planting milkweed for the monarchs. It matters. It matters. Sean Parker Dennison wrote, "The ability to see beauty is the beginning of our moral sensibility. What we believe is beautiful, we will not wantonly destroy." Just as they were here, for those of us who went before, these windows are here for us as beacons. In the midst of blinding anger, these windows are sources of forgiveness. In the midst of overwhelming destruction, the windows are sources for reconciliation. In the midst of despair, the windows are sources of hope. In the midst of hate, they're sources of love. Beauty creates commitment. It lures us into loving it and becomes something we can't live without. May these and other sources of beauty reconnect us to innate sources of solace, happiness, and courage. Blessings be. Amen.